أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله بعد الحمد لله you listen to Islam Tomorrow and we are broadcasting live tonight all the way from the big up underneath the snow mountain hill of Northern Virginia Falls Church and this is your host Yusuf Estes and I'm reminding myself and everybody that we do have our website out here on the internet at islamtomorrow.com islamtomorrow.com. Now that's where you can go and pick up some goodies. We've got some free stuff over there and we've got availability to access to the materials that we're going to be talking about as well as some free stuff that we can send when it's available. And most of what we do free is for our non-Muslim friends, our brothers and sisters in humanity who would like to know more about Islam. Today, alhamdulillah, we'd like to continue where we left off and we were having a discussion on the subject of the Jesus of Islam, and we were referencing two particular works that we found very useful for this purpose, and one of them is called Just One Message. And it's part of the Seeking the Truth series, book number 3. And then another book that we have, and these are for free distribution, called We Believe in Jesus. And it's authored by a friend of mine, and a person I have a lot of respect for in Islam, Suleiman al-Busi. And we are in the middle of that particular book. I think we were on page 13. I was actually past that. Hold on. I need to be able to get back on the same page where I was last night. But I know we already covered this. Yeah, that's where we are. We are on page 13. Okay. This is the mission or purpose of Jesus to keep him looking to upon him. Our Creator sent prophets to show mankind the right path. And Jesus, alayhi salam, peace be upon him, was one of those messengers that Allah had prepared to be sent to the Jews or the children of Israel. And by the way, in Arabic, that's called Bani Israel, the sons of Israel. And if you look in the New Testament, you will find exactly that's what it says. It said, I am come only unto the lost sheep of the tribe of Israel, or the children of Israel. So this is where you can get that verification that what we're saying here again is from the teachings of Islam in the Quran and also in the Injil or the Gospel of the New Testament. And it's saying that he was Jesus being sent to the Jews, the children of Israel, who had deviated from the teaching of Prophet Musa or Moses, peace be upon him. Well, let's see if we can verify that. And as a matter of fact, as we look to the scriptures in the New Testament, what survives of it anyway, it does tell us that in fact Jesus did tell them to let's go back to the basics. Let's go back and look and see what we were taught and return back to it. And you might say to me, oh, how do you say that? Is that a general statement or is there a particular scripture? Well, if you look in the book of Mark, which happens to be the second gospel, of the synoptic, that's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's the second gospel. Go to chapter 12 and look at verse 26, 27, 28, 29, and you'll find, in fact, that someone says to him, ask him, what is the most important commandment? They want to know, what's the great commandment? And he says to them, to know, O Israel, and so he is talking to the tribe of Israel. Know, O Israel, the Lord your God is one Lord. Alright, well, that's the Tawheed of Islam right there. God is one. And then he talks about the second subject, which we always talk about in Islam, which is worship. And it says, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord, and you should worship him with all your heart, and all your mind and all your soul. And that is the great commandment, which is mentioned here in the book of Mark. Now, I would also like to mention that he says something, and I give you another commandment, which is on the same level, and that is to love your brother as yourself. And again, this is not really new, because some people thought that was the new. By the way, a lot of Christians think that was not mentioned, but it was exactly mentioned in the same context in the Old Testament. So there's nothing new here. This is the part of the teaching of Islam and of Judaism and certainly of Christianity. So we find again that the three monotheistic faiths are in agreement and totally exactly in agreement on this subject. And it says, Allah taught him the book, again, so much Jesus again, Allah taught him the book, wisdom, the Torah, and the gospel, and supported him with numerous miracles to prove that he was a messenger from Allah. Okay, and so we could ask again, how can we back this up? Well, as a matter of fact, if you know that they said again in the Bible that the scholars of the Pharisees, that's what the scholars were called at that time, or the ones in control of the temple, they were amazed, they were astounded at the knowledge of Jesus when he was quite young, and he came to speak to them, and he spoke on such a high level that they could not keep up with him. And truly that is the way of the prophets. When they speak in a way that people cannot challenge them, because they're speaking on the authority of Almighty God. And when somebody is speaking on the authority of Almighty Allah, then there's no possible way that somebody else is going to come up with something better, unless they're not really from representing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was a miracle, and so was the fact of his wisdom. It mentions the Torah, because he would correct them on their own text, and they were shocked about this, because for the most part, they had a lot of things that really were not known to the general public. And even at the time of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were things that the Jews were concealing amongst their scholars and knowledgeable people that they really weren't sharing with the rest of the public. So here is Jesus, peace be upon him, coming up to them and speaking with his great wisdom and knowledge, which they couldn't account for, except that he must be the very prophet that they had been looking for. All right. Now, the word gospel, which is used here, I wanted to mention that in the Quran it uses the word Injil. And Injil is a word which has been brought over to the English language, and we mentioned that last night, which is evangel. Evangelical, or the evangelist, are coming straight from the word in the Aramaic and Arabic language, which means the good news or the gospel, and it's pronounced in Arabic, Injil. Alright, and in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani rajeem. And we'll just do the translation tonight. And remember when the angel said, O Mary, certainly Allah gives you the glad tidings of a word from him. His name will be the Messiah, Jesus, son of Mary, and he will be held in high honor in this world and in the hereafter, and will be of those near to Allah. He will speak to the people while in his cradle and in his manhood, and he is of the righteous. She said, My Lord, how shall I have a son while no man has touched me? He said, So it will be. Allah creates what he will. If he decrees a thing, he says to it only, Kun fayakun, be, and it is. And he will teach him, meaning Jesus, the book and wisdom, and the Torah and the gospel, and will make him a messenger of the children of Israel, saying, Indeed, I come to you with a sign from your Lord. Now, this is Jesus speaking to them. Indeed, I come to you with a sign from your Lord. I fashion for you out of clay the figure of a bird, and then breathe into it, and then by Allah's permission, it will be alive. I will heal the born blind, and those who have the skin disease of leprosy, and raised the dead back to life, all by the permission of the law. And I inform you of what you eat and what you hide up in your houses and storage. Certainly herein is a sign for you if you are really believers. And I come, confirming to you that which was before me of the Torah, or the Old Testament, and to make lawful some of that which was forbidden to you, and I come to you with a sign from your Lord. So fear Allah and obey me. This is found in the Quran in Surah Al-Imran, chapter 3, verses 45 to 50. I want to make some commentary from the standpoint, really, of just comparing what's based here on the textual basis of this, comparing to the teachings of what remains of Christianity. I mentioned that we as Muslims do not have the authority to give tafsir or explanation of Quran unless it's on the authority of the Quran itself, meaning that we've taken it from another place in Quran, or if it's taken from the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, or a combination of both. And in the absence of that, then those very first people after him who are knowledgeable in this subject. Outside of that, it is considered incorrect in Islam for a person to make their own understanding of Quran. Even if they have the Arabic language mastered, this is not something you do, because this Quran is not something which is written by man, but rather it is a miracle. And this is a subject for another time. I don't want to get into that, but just to let you know that I'm only saying a comparison of some of the mentionings in the English compared to the English or the Bible, which is very superficial, okay? So don't try to pick apart what I'm saying and say, okay, the Sheikh Yusuf said this and Sheikh Yusuf said, don't do that. That's wrong, and this is not the intended meaning behind what we're saying, okay? Having said that, I want to go back and look again. It says, when the angel said, O Maryam, verily Allah gives you the glad tidings of a word from him. And the reason I want to go back to this, because it says a word. And in this translation, which is in the book here that we have, We Believe in Jesus, on page 13, it says word with a capital W. Now this is something which is done very frequently when you come into the English language from Arabic, Aramaic, or Semitic languages, Hebrew. You have a tendency to take the pronouns and you will make it capital, like he, when you're talking about Allah, to show the distinct position of Allah. And so when you have a proper noun, such as a person's name or a place, obviously you will capitalize the first letter. And so we have the same thing here that this translator has done. They capitalize the W in the word word, and column or word, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The word in Arabic, column, it is not having a capital letter. It's just kaf, that's it. And there are no capital letters in the Arabic language. So you can't capitalize it, but we do that out of respect to show that this is a proper noun. And it says a word from him, and him is also capitalized. So this word and this him are proper nouns. I'm focusing on it, and it may say to you, like, why are you hanging up on this study, Jesus? Let's move forward. Well, I want to bring out a point, because a lot of people tell us, well, don't you agree that Jesus is the Word, and the Word became flesh, and so on and so on. Well, this is taken from John, the first book in the first chapter in the book of John, the Gospel, the fourth Gospel, in Geo, as it is today, that is. Now, and there it says something like this, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh. Okay, so that's what they make some big deal from this. But in fact, we understand that there was Adam, and he had no life, but Allah created him and made him from the dirt, but he didn't have life. It wasn't flesh yet. But then Allah's Word comes. Kun, sayakun. And what is his word? Be. And it is. And so Adam became alive. The word came, the commandment came from Allah. Be. And he became. And that's the beginning of who? Adam. Adam created from mud, from dirt, from clay. or potter's clay, or sounding clay. These are some of the different translations given to this word, atin, meaning this clay that Adam was created from. And all of us are really from atin. And some of my friends from the different countries who speak Arabic, it's cute whenever somebody will ask them, "Where are you from, man?" And he doesn't want to just keep going through a story, "Well, I'm from Virginia, but my parents are from, you know, Saudi Arabia, but actually their grandparents are from Eritrea," and like that. They just say, "I'm from mud or dirt." But anyway, so this is the word that is speaking here, is the word be. Become, and he became Adam. And so it will be with Jesus, that Allah will merely say be, and he is. So now when you see the word in the Bible capitalized, you can understand this is exactly what it's saying also in the Quran, be, and it is. The word from Allah proceeds forth from Allah, and then this flesh becomes life. Okay, well, this is not confusing, but this has to be the case of Adam first. And Adam has no father, and Adam has no mother. So certainly, if you consider Jesus to be a miracle, which you do, by the way, you must consider Adam to be a bigger miracle, and yet for Allah, it is no more difficult for him to create Jesus without a father than it was to create Adam in the first place. And that's my point for going back to this, because I have so many times that a Christian will say to me, "Yes, but don't you believe he was the Word?" And in some of the churches, like, I'm trying to think of one of them, I think it was Agape, but I don't, it doesn't matter. But they were saying, "But Jesus is the Logos. Jesus is the Logos. He's the Logos." Well, you didn't change anything. You just translated the word phallon into the Greek, Koine Greek language, and then we translated that over to English, and it didn't lose anything, didn't gain anything. The word phallon means word, and the word logos means word, and the word word means word, and now I'm getting tongue-tied. But this page, look at this, it's nothing more than a word, but they say, well, it's capitalized logos. Now, please give me a break. First of all, it's Koine Greek, okay? And you don't have to capitalize it, but if you do, it's better, but it doesn't change what it is. It's still the word from Allah and his command, which says, be. And he became, and he was, okay? That's it. And so that's all logos means. It's just the Koine Greek word that means word. Got it? Okay. And then it says his name will be Messiah, the Jesus, the son of Mary, okay? His name will be the Messiah, Jesus, the son of Mary. You get it straight here, okay? Now, in the Bible, I want to call your attention to those, again, when they're coming at you and saying, "Yes, but the Bible says, all right, I'm not trying to tear apart the Bible, nor do I want somebody to attack the Quran. This is not our purpose here. But just for the sake of those trying to make transition to come into Islam, this is not so different for you. Take it easy. Look at the second chapter in the book of Matthew. And it tells you the story similar to what I just told you. That the angel comes and he speaks to Miriam, Mary. And he tells her she's going to have a baby. And he tells her that she's going to have a miracle birth, and he tells her that this is something from Allah, and he tells her that his name will be, that they changed the name. And this is something that actually somebody did, according to the biblical scholars themselves. They said somebody is referring to a verse back in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, wherein it says that the young girl or maiden shall give birth, and then before this child reaches a certain age, certain things will take place to show the truthfulness of a prophecy. But they changed it around and said that this meant that she was a virgin and a virgin will give birth, okay? But in fact, if you know the concordance and you look it up, you'll find that in fact this is a true statement, that it meant a young girl as opposed to a virgin. Although we agree with the virgin birth, I'm just telling you, this is the argument between the Jews and the Christians. It's not our argument, we're not going to get into it. But what the name was that this boy was called in the Old Testament in Isaiah is the name that got picked up here and put in there, and they said his name will be Emmanuel. They shouldn't have done that. They could have quoted the verse back there without mentioning his name, because they'd have been a lot better off, because guess what? Nobody ever calls Jesus Emmanuel. And it says very clearly, and his name shall be Emmanuel, and you'll call him Emmanuel. Everybody's going to call him Emmanuel. Nobody calls him Emmanuel. Nobody. I never heard any preacher stand up and say, in the name of Emmanuel. I never did. And I hope I never do. But actually, we can tell from the Quran what the correct statement probably was. Although I'm not going to tell you what the Bible was without knowing, I'm going to tell you that it's very likely because of the statement here, which we found in Surah Al-Imran, chapter 3. And it says here, his name will be the Messiah. Okay, the Messiah, or the Messihi. Now, do we agree with that as Muslims? Yes, we do. We absolutely agree with that. Why? Well, it says it. Look, it's right there in the Quran, Messihi. He is the Messiah. There is no argument. Allah says, hello. And it means what? As we mentioned last night. It comes from the same word that the word mess comes from. To touch, to wipe, and it also means to choose by touching or appointing someone. And they used to touch someone on the head, as we mentioned, and anoint their head with oil, and or anointing oil, and this was all the same thing. And this is nothing brand new. In fact, Muslims still do this today. We will put oil on ourselves, on our hands, and put it on our heads, our beards, and so on. And this is similar to the same motion. Okay? It's not like some people tried to make this to be, if anybody is the Messiah, that, you know, he's God. He's not God. In fact, Jesus is the Messiah. He's the chosen one of God, who will be the one who's the miracle birth, who comes and gives the message to the Israelites, and then they don't accept it for the most part. He leaves, he comes back, he leads them to all victory, which is what we all believe as Muslims, and what is the problem? The problem comes in if somebody along the way said, hey, let's add this to it, that he'll die on the cross for our sins, and that isn't what's predicted in the Old Testament. This is not what is really being taught by Jesus, according to the Quran. In fact, Jesus says the Quran is saying that he does things only by the permission of Almighty God. Okay? I don't want to get to that subject yet. I'm not quite through that. I'm still here. I'm dealing with this subject of his name and mentioning his original creation or birth from the beginning. We as Muslims believe that Jesus is created. He was created in a miracle way. His birth is a miracle, but we still believe he's created. And if anybody said, well, I agree with that, then you're in total agreement with the Muslims, because we say that. Whereas we as Muslims say God is not created. Very important distinction here. God is not created. And I was reading in Hebrews today, actually to do a comparison here for some Christian that's writing to me about something. And I was noticing that it was talking about referring to a verse that I went back and checked in the book of Luke. I think in the book of Luke, I don't want to say it, but so that in it was mentioning here, Jesus is talking about Gethsemane and the garden, the Mount of Olives, and he was praying and asking this cup be passed from me, even so that will be done. And he mentions that for me, all things will come to an end. Now that's very clear that he's making a statement that he is going to have an end. He's going to die. Whereas we know from the Quran and from the Bible itself that God is always living and he never dies. He is the first, he is the last. He is the Alpha and he is the Omega. He is without father and he is without mother and he is eternal for all time. That is the Almighty God that we know in Islam. And certainly the one in the Old Testament, and what Jesus is referring to when he talks about the fact that he will have an end. So if anybody would like references on that, or any of the rest of what I'm talking about up to this point, you can email me at sheikyusuf@aol.com. That's sheikyusuf@AmericanOnlineAOL.com. You're listening to Islam Tomorrow. We broadcast live right here on this station every Saturday and Sunday, God willing, inshallah. And we're going to be asking, by the way, from, I haven't actually done it yet, to see if we can make a little adjustment to be at 7 o'clock on both days. Otherwise, we've been 6 on Saturday, 7 on Sunday, and if we get some adjustment, we may be 7 on both days. So you can also do some internet at www.islamtomorrow.com. You'll find our websites are open 24 hours a day, and there's always plenty of free parking for your mouth. By the way, we have a new website up, and some of you have visited it and told me that you liked it. It's called Islam Yesterday. That's where we're storing up some of our goodies. And if you want to go over there and download things or listen to some of the stuff online, some of it's pretty good. Some of it's messed up because we're still working on the bugs. And as we used to say, as soon as we get all the bugs ironed out, we'll have flat bugs. And that's that. That's all the commercials for now. Oh, yeah, by the way, you're listening also to Adley.net. And I'm going to tell you something. If you didn't figure it out, yes, this is a pretty neat place to be. A good place to meet your friends. And a nice place to get good Islamic background education. And a place to just basically hang out in the evenings and see what's going on. Yeah, right. I'm sorry about flat bug joke. Anyway, but I would like to encourage all of us to invite more and more and more brothers and sisters to come here and listen to these talks. Now, I'll admit, I'm the first to admit, not all of my talks are really that great, but you can't win them all. But, you know, some of them are bound to be all right, you know? And other to you, the scholars of Islam who will come here and talk to you, like Muhammad Sayyid Adli, certainly their talks are more than just educational, they're stimulating, and they're certainly something that bring out the good of us and make us work hard for just being this beautiful way of Islam. Okay, and having said that, I'm going to wrap up the commercials and get back to the program, and we're talking on the subject tonight of the Jesus of Islam, and we're on in a book called We Believe in Jesus. And on page 13, we were talking about the mission of Jesus. What's his mission? What's his purpose? And we have to understand in Islam, we know that Allah told us in the Quran very clearly. He said, he did not create all of this. Look to the universe. Go ahead. He said, I did not create all of this for any foolish purpose. Okay? This means everything has a purpose. And certainly, prophets have a purpose. Messengers have a purpose. And Jesus, who is the Word of Allah. Okay? We're going to accept that. The Logos of Allah. Who is the Messiah of Allah. We're going to accept that. And what about, is he the Christ of Allah? And he does have a purpose. Yes. By the way, Christ. Can we say that? Many people ask me, Yusuf, why do you say Christ? I mean, you're not a Christian anymore. Why do you say Jesus Christ? Why don't you say Isa? Well, alright. And you're right. That's his name. But at the same time, when I'm talking to people who speak English, they feel like this is something different, totally out of the norm for them. And so this is why I will tell them Almighty God, Allah. And I'll still put the word God in there from time to time. And I do that because I don't want to lose them. I don't want them to feel like that we've abandoned them and they're out here and we're over there and I'm drawing a line and either you get on my side of the line or you're finished. Because this is not the way that it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be that the people could, you know, talk to me and I'll talk to them. After all, English is my language. And they're speaking English. And I'm trying to help them to know about Islam. How would it be if I walked up to them and said, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and they go, what? Well, I want to show what you said. Peace be upon those who follow right guidance. And he said, are you okay? Where are you coming from, man? You know, what's that? And I said, no, I got to talk to you in Arabic because I'm a Muslim now. And he said, what? Okay, so it's too much. I think it's better for us to use what they're used to help them understand what we're saying. We're not trying to sell them Islam, and we're not trying to convince them of anything. It's not our purpose. But it is our purpose, and it is our responsibility to communicate the message in as clear and concise a way as possible. And Allah tells us this in the Quran, that we call to this way in a way that is better, and he also tells us to use words of wisdom, and he tells us also not to argue with them. And so all of this supports the argument that we should always take the easiest way to get the message to them. Or as we say in Texas, let's get the hay down where the goats can eat it. And I'm not calling anybody an old goat, I'm the old goat around here. So now let's look again to the subject of Christ, and why do we say Christ? And the reason is because Messiah, Messiah, translates to the word Christos in the Koine Greek. And that word Christos, they drop the OS off of it and change it to Christ or Christ, and that's where the word Christ came from. Okay? And the people of Antioch were the ones who first used to taunt the early Christians, and they were called people of the way. This is recorded in the Acts of the Apostles, the book of Acts. According to Paul, he says that he used to persecute these Christians. He used to get the papers from Damascus, and then from the Roman Empire, which gave him permission to basically go and torture and even kill these remaining companions of Jesus. And he admits to that in the same writing. Now, when he speaks to these people, he says, I was persecuting the people of the way, because that's what they were called, until, as Paul tells us in another one of his works, he says they were never called Christians until Antioch, meaning that none of the people of their area, which was in Jerusalem, in the surrounding area, ever used this word Christian, because these people spoke according to what they knew about them, which were they were the people of the way of Jesus. They followed his way, or in Arabic, deen. And so this word deen, the people of the deen, this is also what Muslims are still called until this day. We are on the deen al-haq, the deen al-islam, and this is something we say all of the time. I want to remind you folks, by the way, that are typing, that we'll ask you many times, please don't do that, because that could be a sign that I'm having a problem in broadcasting. Thank you, Jazakumullah Khair, so much. I'm sorry also to mess up our recording, but I do have to keep reminding you, inshallah. And so, I'm saying that the word Christos, or Christ, is appropriate. There's nothing wrong with it, because it's the translation of the Messiah, or Messiah, okay? And they were never called Christians, according to the Bible, until they were around the horn, all around the other side of the Mediterranean Sea. And that was at a place called Antioch. And you can look it up on these old maps that you find in the Bibles, and you'll see Antioch, and that's where Paul says first time they were called that. And they were being taunted, by the way, by the non-believers, making fun of them, because they were calling him, instead of saying these are the people of the way of Jesus, they were just saying these are the people of Jesus, or the Jesus-ins, or the Christians, or the Mohammedans, and that's what they, some people call us today. But certainly we today take exception to that, and we say, hey, we don't like that, please don't call us Mohammedans. We are not Mohammedans because we do not worship Muhammad. We're not worshiping Muhammad. We are worshiping God of Muhammad, the Lord of Muhammad, and we are worshiping on the way of Muhammad. And this is exactly what we find mentioning in the New Testament. Jesus is saying that no man comes unto the Father but by me. And they said, oh, Pete, look, that's it. That means that you have to get all your sins forgiven for him by going inside of Jesus, and he has to blah, blah, blah. He said, hold on. In order to be consistent with the rest of the Bible and not be contradictory to the rest of it, you would have to say that this means that Jesus is telling them, no man comes unto the Lord of the universe except by the same way that I do it. Follow me in the way I worship him. And if you ask, how did he worship him? He even told you how. And by saying, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We mentioned that in yesterday's program, but that you understand that this is Islam. Islam means do God's will instead of your own. Don't follow your own vain desires. Don't go after your own lust. Do what Allah asks you to do. And that's the test. Do His commandments. And Jesus constantly refers to that in the New Testament, and nobody will come unto the Lord except that he follows me and he keeps these commandments. Is that clear enough? I thought it was very clear. Let's continue and see again about this purpose that Jesus is coming with. And we mentioned that some of the things that Jesus came with, according to the Quran, he came with the book, the wisdom, and the Torah, and the gospel. He came to the children of Israel. Now, in the Quran, it doesn't say the word only. It said he is a messenger to the children of Israel, saying, indeed, I am come to you with a sign from your Lord. All right? But in the Bible, it says, I am only sent. And it uses the word only in the New Testament to the lost sheep of the tribe of Israel. That's the statement from the Bible. So, we're not being that tough in Islam. We're saying maybe other people could listen to him too. Maybe some other people could, you know, follow what he said and be rightly guided as well. Now, let's move forward. I want to mention that he was telling them something very clear. And he said that, and I want to take the last part of the verses that out of the Quran, chapter 3. He said, and I come confirming that which was before me in the Torah, and to make lawful some of that which was forbidden to you, and I come to you with a sign from your Lord, so fear Allah and obey me. All right. That's no different from what the other prophets, peace be upon them, said. If you go back and you look in the books of the prophets in the Old Testament, you see over and over they would come, and Ezekiel, and Moses, Abraham, Lot, all of these prophets, when they came to their people, and also the prophet Noah in Nineveh, when he came to his people the same way, and they said, obey me, I am your prophet, fear God, fear God, fear God. And I hear Christians tell me, no, we don't fear God, God is love, you don't have to fear love. But this same fear, this same respect and awe, that we stand in front of Allah in total awe. This is exactly what we should do. We should be humble in front of God. And here, this is not something new, because this is mentioned in the Old Testament, mentioned in the New Testament, and mentioned here in the Quran. So, and it's saying that Jesus, alayhi salam, is being very clear with them, telling that he's confirming the Torah. I want to refer now, for the benefit of those who are just coming out of Christianity or thinking about this, don't think about yourself as running away from Jesus or abandoning your brain or leaving behind your connection to God. This is not correct. What you're doing in essence is just correcting your course a little bit, straightening your course out, and coming closer to Jesus and coming closer to Allah at the same time. We Muslims know that our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, has passed away, he is dead, yet we feel close to him by following his way, and we know that by following his way we are going to be close to him in the paradise. And this is what we mean by that. So this is what you want to do, you want to be close to Jesus. The only way to do that is to follow his way. You cannot become something else. You can't follow Shaitan and say that I'm going to be with Jesus. Because it never was like that. So, let's look now to the fifth chapter in the book of Matthew. That's the first gospel in the Injil, or the New Testament. What does it say? And I'm going to do this from memory. I'm sorry, if everybody's keeping mind, I'm in the process of moving from one house to another. And so, all my stuff is in the other house, and all I'm doing right now is really from memory, except for this one book in my hand. Subhanallah. So if I make mistakes, please be patient with me. Pray for me to do better, and certainly, if you find the book that's a different page than I said or a different thing, then obviously there's a mistake in my memory. Alhamdulillah. Again, I want to remind you, all of you, please stop typing the screen. I don't know, maybe you can't hear me, but please stop doing that. If there's a sound problem, this is us, this delay us. Okay? And if it keeps on going, I don't know what we're going to do, because I don't like being electric program on the broadcast and let this live. There's nothing like that. Okay, now the verse that I'm talking about now, the verses, are in the 5th chapter in the book of Matthew. And it's Matthew 5, 17, 18, 19. It says more or less, how about this? Is that better? Can you hear it okay? How about now? Is that any better, or do I need to do more with this? How about now? Is this any better? Okay, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. And I apologize for the interruption. Let's look now to the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 17, 18, 19. And what we're saying here is that exactly what it's mentioning here in the Quran. It's so amazingly close that, and consider both of these have been translated. The Bible was translated, by the way, from Aramaic to Koine Greek to the Latin language, Latin into an earlier form of English, then retranslated in 1611, several retranslations since that time, several different opinions, and then Dead Sea Scrolls coming up later and people retranslating for meaning, and yet the Quran is still the same Quran, 1400 years. We want to compare and look at something beautiful. It's so beautiful. Listen to what it says in the Bible, inshallah, the translation, that Jesus said to the people, think not that I came to destroy the law and the prophets. I came not to destroy, but rather to fulfill. And not until all things are accomplished till one jot, iota, tittle. I'm giving you some of the different translations of the word from various languages, means not the slightest little bit will in any wise be lessened. And whosoever breaks the least commandment and teaches this, he shall be the least in the kingdom. And whosoever keeps the commandment and teaches this, he shall be the greatest in the kingdom. And not unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, will you enter the paradise? I think that's very clear, but just so that there can be no mistake, let's look again and see if that's what we have something similar to the verse that we've been quoting here from Surah Al-Imran, chapter 3 of the Quran. It says, and I come confirming that which is before me in the Torah. All right? See? The Torah is the law. Law and Torah are synonymous. When you're talking about the law of Moses, you are talking about the Torah, and there isn't two ways to look at that. Any person who follows the Jewish Testament, any Jew, any Hebrew who follows the Old Testament will tell you Torah and law, they are synonymous. This is the same thing. And here it says, and I come confirming that which was before me of the Torah. Well, that's done. And I made lawful some of that which was forbidden to you. It means he's straightening out some of the things that people added and made forbidden, which was not supposed to be forbidden. And he has this authority to do so, because he is in fact the messenger of Allah to do just exactly that. He has this authority, and he's been ordained and ordered by Allah to come in and straighten things out that these people messed up. And he's saying just that. I'm just straightening this out and turning it back to what it was. He's not making new law, he's taking them back to the old law. And that's again exactly in compliance with what it says in the gospel. And the gospel is agreeing with the Old Testament, and the gospel is also agreeing with the last testament, which is the Quran. So again we find total harmony And it's a very beautiful thing when we realize this. And it continues. And it says, and I come to you with a sign from your Lord. So fear Allah and obey me. Now, and the verses that I was quoting from the Bible and Matthew, I was not mentioning anything like this because that's not there. But what was there, and we'll elaborate that just for a moment and think about it. If that's the correct thing, if Jesus said that, it's not out of context with what we as Muslims believe, because he says that nothing is going to change from the law until everything is finished, everything's accomplished. And so the Old Testament laws, the commandments are still there, because Jesus talks later in the Bible about keeping even the littlest commandment, even the smallest commandment, have to be kept. You have to keep the commandments. And that's a part of the believer, is to keep the commandments. You can't break them. You cannot break the law, the Torah. All right? And he also gives a warning that unless your righteousness is better than the Pharisees, you're not going to enter paradise. All right? Now, later, though, in the Bible today, what we find, the remaining of it, there's someone in there who writes 16 books out of the 27 books. Is it? Yeah, 27 books of the New Testament. In the Protestant Bible, there are more than that in the Catholic Bible. But in the Protestant Bible, we find 16 of the 27 books written or influenced by one man. And he's a Pharisee. And his name is Saul. He later changes it to Paul. And he, in fact, says exactly the opposite of Jesus in this statement. And he says, I am dead to the law, and the law is dead to me. If it were not for the law, I wouldn't be sinning, and I wouldn't be sinning if it weren't for the law. This is the meaning of what he's saying. He's saying, if there weren't any law, then whatever I do, it wouldn't be such a big deal. But every time I turn around, I'm breaking some kind of law, and the reason is because why? Because the law is too hard and we can't keep up with it. So he's canceling the law. And he even says things like, when I'm with the Jews, I'm a Jew. And when I'm with the Christians, I'm a Christian. When I'm with the Romans, I'm a Roman citizen. And so he's been saying, I'm all things to all people. Now what do we call that today? Somebody that has a different faith for every group he's with. Huh? What do you call somebody who's really all things to all people? I call them a hypocrite. Exactly. Or five-faced, or ten-faced, depending, right? So, Paul is telling them that they can break the laws. In fact, he tells them that circumcision is something big, so much so that Jesus in the Bible had to be circumcised. And it says so, and yet He is the Word from Allah, and he's created perfectly according to Allah's will, and yet he still has to be circumcised. But Paul can cancel that. Not Jesus. Jesus does not cancel that. But Paul can. Who is Paul? A Pharisee. The very thing you were warned about. Unless your righteousness exceeds the Pharisees, you will not enter paradise. That's something to think about, isn't it? Well, I'm not going to attack Paul. It's not my job to do that. There's plenty of good Christian scholars out there that attack him every day. My purpose is to make sure that we understand that the main body of teaching of the Bible is not out of context with the main understanding in Islam. They're not different religions, but a continuum of the religion which came originally with Adam. The religion didn't get messed up, the people did. There's nothing wrong with God's will, it's right there, always was, but it's us who are messed up. We don't see it anymore. So if you see a problem, don't blame God, blame yourself. That's the message to the Muslims, and that should be the message to all the people who believe that there really is a God. Now you're listening to Islam Tomorrow. We've been broadcasting here now for the last half hour or so in this segment, and we're going to back down just a minute to give station identification and a few ads. Got to be, up with all the the dunya type broadcasting. So I'm going to mention that you should come and visit this website at adley.net on a regular basis. And you should be promoting this in your writing. You should be adding a link to this and everything that you send out in email so people can come here and learn more about Islam. And while you're at it, put a link for islamtomorrow.com. islamtomorrow.com. The websites are open 24 hours a day. And on this website, you've got a monitor sitting right there trying to help and take care of people on a regular basis as well. So this is the place to be, and this is the thing to do. And you're listening to Yusuf Esther for the Islam Tomorrow. I'm going to take a break, let my finger rest, and be back right after this.